Welcome to the Northern Affinity Video Podcast. During this session, we will be having an unedited discussion with an expert. And what I'll be planning to do is, during our discussion, get them to teach me something. Teach me about something that's of interest, but also they are an expert in. I'm Michael Edwards, and I'm the founder of the Northern Affinity. And I will tap into our wonderful community to bring you along on my drive for self-improvement and my desire to learn. So please connect with me on various social media platforms, whether it's LinkedIn or Instagram or Twitter. And I'd love to hear from you what subjects you'd like to learn more about, or what subjects you think it'd be good for me to learn about. So please, you know, get in contact and let me know. All the details will be in the show notes, and you can send me an email or contact me via the various platforms. I really hope you enjoy the show. So, welcome to the latest podcast, and I'm absolutely delighted to say I'm joined by Jeff Dunn, and I'll get Jeff to introduce himself in a minute, but during this session, we're going to talk about protecting, well, obviously from the title, protecting my business, but for everyone listening and watching, protecting your business as well, and it's very much within the realms of how insurance and how important that is. So, not to steal your thunder, Jeff, do you want to quickly kind of introduce yourself and what you do, and then we'll kind of go into the bit more detail?
Of course, Mike. No worries. Good to see you. So, good morning, everyone. My name's Jeff Dunn. I'm client director for Spencer Hayes Group, an insurance brokerage, which is based in Rawtenstall near Burnley, although I am a home worker based in Marsden in West Yorkshire.
Excellent, Jeff. And I think probably a good place to start with this is, you know, why is this question important? Why do you need to protect your business? And I guess, and how insurance comes into that will be kind of a really good place to frame the discussion.
For sure, Mike. There's no right place to start. there's a truism. So I consult and advise businesses who already have insurance, and consult and advise businesses who haven't launched the business but need to know what insurance they need and, of course, how much it costs. And then thirdly, I insure new businesses who are actually trading but have started trading without insurance. And that's probably the dangerous one. And in fact, that's the one, unfortunately, where there are the most people.
Right. And I was going to ask that question really about, I guess, common mistakes that you see, because I'm sure you see millions of different scenarios all the time, but I would imagine there's often a thread and a common thing that's gone wrong. So it'd be interesting to know, like, for people listening, like the KS said, the examples of common things that have gone wrong or could go wrong for people.
Yeah, well, it's easy for me, a lifelong insurance professional, to sort of talk about where people have gone wrong. That just doesn't feel right to me, particularly in that it could sound like I'm a know-it-all about it. But common mistakes are normally probably fall in the category, Mike, of a little knowledge is a dangerous thing.
Right.
Typically, the business owner or the potential business owner has spoken to their mythical friend in a pub, and the friend's told them, and this will be the non-insurance professional friend, has told them everything that they need to do to protect their business. And unfortunately, it's that conversation that's often way off the mark. For example, a business owner would say to me, Jeff, I've been recommended to you. Can you sort out my liability insurance? And the answer there is, of course I can. But shall we start with, tell me about you. What sort of business do you run? Do you have staff? Do you have premises? Do you have machinery? Do you have stock? Do you have contents? And once I've established all of those things with a fact-find document, I can then advise them on the liability insurance. There's a perception, that a false perception, that you just buy liability insurance. And you can go onto the internet and buy vanilla flavored liability insurance, which arguably will cover you, but I would argue equally back that it perhaps doesn't fully protect you. So that would be the first mistake when people talk about liability insurance. It's, they use the word as if they know everything about it. And, you know, I've been doing this a while, and every now and then I learn something about it. So there you go.
Absolutely. It's a bit like going to the doctors, isn't it? And saying, can you prescribe me whatever drug because I've got this, because I Googled it. And actually, no, that as I'm sure everyone at some point has been to the doctors and they'll reel through a load of questions, don't they? And check your blood pressure and heart rate and all these kind of things. And that's how they start to dig down to what actually you need, which is not always what the most obvious thing. Would that be a fair comparison?
Oh, it would. That's a great analogy, mate. I might toy with the idea of referring to myself as Dr. Dunn going forward.
But I can see that working, Jeff. I can see that working.
Maybe not then.
And I guess kind of on this kind of theme, really well. So we mentioned the common mistakes, but there is often, you know, very serious potential consequences here. So there'd be kind of, whether it's real life examples or just things that you know could happen, the consequences of people getting it wrong.
Yes. Yeah, totally. So again, an example, let's stick with the liability. Was quoting for what I call metal bashers, which is precision engineers, the disparaging term. But the professionals at what they do in terms of working with three or four different forms of metal, mm-hmm. and constructing items from raw materials. Now, when I was quoting for them, they had a range of machinery for bending the metals, forming the metals, and bonding the metals. But they didn't have guards on the machines. And let's dig deeper into that. The machines came with guards.
Okay.
The mythical staff members, including supervising staff, had worked out that it was easier to walk into the area where the piece of machinery was and operate the machinery and get through the most amount of work without the use of the guard. Now, there's a pre-assumption, I'm sure you'd agree, that if you're working with machines that form metal, cut metal, bend metal, having guards and override buttons are an absolute no-brainer that needs to happen. So I got to a situation where I did a recommendation, but I said, I cannot act for you as your insurance broker unless you implement the reintroduction of these things. To which the reply was, well, my current broker doesn't seem bothered about that. And that's not the issue. The issue is for the safety of the staff members, those safeguards should have been refitted.
No, absolutely. And I guess that's every single time there'll be different examples, won't there, where from something as relatively dangerous as that to something a little bit less dangerous, but still it could be important.
Oh, totally. Let's take the Northern Affinity as a good point. Something that you and I haven't discussed this specific point in fine detail. I think we'll have it at a headline level. You flipped your operating model from having premises across it standingly to effectively using other people's premises and having a group working / networking day with presentations at other people's premises. What a brilliant business model, by the way, Mike. That's working just fine. However, think about it. Originally, your insurance is based upon the cost of public liability and employer's liability at one premises at Stanningly. Mm-hmm. That's changed. So, tongue in cheek, luckily for you, what I did was I've provided the insurers with a list of all of your events, described the venues, provided street view links to the front of those buildings if they were struggling to find them, and also the websites of all of those businesses, and basically said that you are going to do what you were doing anyway in terms of monthly meetups, etc., but do it on other people's premises. Now, what could happen is that somebody could be injured or die during one of your meetings, and they could then perhaps try and lay the blame at your door, perhaps unfairly. But an investigation would happen from the claims department of the insurance company, and they would basically see who was liable. Now, the fact that you are doing these things on someone else's premises, what would probably happen would be your insurance company would establish it was a valid claim, pay out, and then do a thing called subrogate the claim, the liability insurers of the venue that you were using, and effectively get their money back for the claim. Or plan B, which is often slicker and works really well on a non-fault car accident, instead of your company getting involved, then having to chase the other one, they just basically say, you're at fault for this, can you deal with this claim?
Yeah.
And, you know, that either approach works. But that's something that we have in place for you, Mike. But can you see the subtlety of why you could, it's not reasonable to expect you as a busy business owner to wake up in the morning and go, do you know what? My business model's changed. I better check the implication on my insurance. I better have a word with Jeff. Yeah. Life's not like that, Mike.
No, no. And I think one thing I was going to ask you about, actually, because, you know, the example you used earlier of quite a high risk, I guess, environment in manufacturing and building sites and all that kind of stuff, quite high risk. But maybe a lot of people who listen or watch this in what probably would be termed quite low risk, B2B, I don't know, you might be a freelance in marketing or something like that. But, you know, from what my very little knowledge of this, there is still things to think about insurance. So it'd be quite interesting just to kind of maybe overview that for people. And I know obviously we're talking generically here, but
of course,
that type of business.
No problems, mate. Good point. Well made by you. Our demographic in Northern Affinity does include a lot of people that fall into that category. So I've helped a lot of those people already with their insurance. And there's kind of two operating models. One is independent business owner working from their own premises, which is often their home, or independent business worker, they've typically rented somewhere. Now, if they have business equipment, and I'm talking photocopier / scanner, Apple Mac, mobile phone specific to business, furniture related to their business, you know, ergonomic chairs, stuff like that. I'm happy to report that if it's the scenario where they work from home, most of that can be catered for, usually, by a conversation with the household insurers.
Okay.
It's certainly worth exploring, and it's certainly something that I recommend people who come to me to do, so I can try and save them a little bit of money. And I say to them, go and have a word with your house insurers, put your hand up and say, I am a home worker, this is what I do, finger in the air, I've got $3,000 to $5,000 worth of kit specific to my job, I'm in one room of my house, can you reassure me, / write to me to confirm, / point me at the page in my policy document that says that limited cover for home working is included in my policy. Okay, so that's the first thing. Second thing, that then leaves the employer's liability insurance, if they have staff, and leaves the public liability insurance, and also leaves one of my favorite classes of business, professional indemnity insurance. Now, if you're in any form of advice-giving role, you're seriously challenged in the head if you haven't got or consider professional indemnity insurance. In a nutshell, it covers you against any allegation from any past or current client that any misadvice given by you to them in the client relationship has resulted in a financial loss or damage to them. So in that scenario, people can come after you a few years after it happened. But you would be well advised to consider having professional indemnity insurance. As an insurance broker, you know, Spencer Hayes, we have to buy an insurance policy of that nature, because we're full on advice giving. Every client is getting advice from us. So lastly, if I can rewind to the scenario of the contractor or marketing person or web person who has premises, they've rented premises, then obviously same goes as what I said a couple of minutes ago, the need to cover all of their business related equipment, but they might have a bit more in their commercial lease. Subsection 6, paragraph 4, buried there in microscopic 8-point font, it says, you are responsible for all glass. Well, how can that be? You've rented somewhere. Surely the landlord insures the building. They may well do, but as a condition of the lease you sign with them, they may have made you contractually liable for the glass. So, yes, it is possible to cover glass in a building that you rent that you don't own. And similarly, you may not have liked the layout of the premises that you've rented. So you may have done some internal partition walls, put shelving up, racking up, whatever. And this is called tenants' improvements, i.e., you know, you've invested time and money in making the building or the interior of the building look arguably better than it did when you signed for the lease. You can actually insure the value of the tenant's improvements on your insurance policy. So that's another thing to consider.
And that's great. And I guess you'll agree with me. This is where getting an expert like yourself or somebody else involved to help with these things, you know, can be really powerful. Just want to quickly ask you about the professional indemnity, actually. And you mentioned, obviously, about advice. You know, something like yourself or somebody in, I don't know, legal, financial services, it's kind of obvious that they are offering an advice and it kind of feels that that's an obvious type for them. What about, again, using somebody in the marketing world? So you advise that they do a particular campaign or post in a social media. Would that be counted under advice? Could they come back for that?
Probably not, Mike. It would be an argue point because no one knows that a potential social media campaign is going to deliver XYZ result. If we did know that, we'd all be going to one person.
Of course.
So it's an interpretive line of work or discipline, that one. So you would argue that wouldn't be covered under professional indemnity. However, let me take an example of not a solicitor, not an accountant, and not an insurance broker. Let's say an architect designed a building, and then 3 years later, the building fell down. Now, was that act of God? Was that subsidence, which is insured under most buildings' insurance policies? Or was that a defect in design, which is attributable back to the architect? If it's the latter, then let's hope the architect arranged professional indemnity insurance.
Yeah,
I had a situation last year, which is just coming up for renewal now, where somebody down in Surrey, very clever guy, buys plots of land about once every 5 or 7 years. You can imagine the cost of land down there, and there isn't very much of it.
No.
And he'll sit on it for a couple of years, get planning permission, and then build a house. Now, the last house he built, he's just sold for 35 million. But the solicitor acting for the person who has bought the house made it a condition of the sale that my client has to have £10 million worth of professional indemnity insurance for a period of at least 5 years after the sale of the house.
Okay.
And that's to cover those very issues.
Okay.
It's called design and build. But yeah, no, it's the first time I've come across it where a solicitor is saying broadly, I know you don't have to have this, but if you want to sell the house to my client, then you will arrange this cover.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now, kind of last question I was going to ask you about, Jeff, was obviously we're recording this kind of back end of February 2023. There's been a lot going on in the last, obviously, few years, but also in the last few months in terms of cost of living, things going up. Now, obviously, we discussed this very briefly earlier that, you know, insurance is often about the value of things. So how has this kind of impacted your world? It'd be interesting to know.
Yeah. Something, again, just going back to the subtlety of your change in venue, if I could just mention that briefly again, a bit like that is just such a subtle change, and you would be forgiven for never thinking about it at all. Exactly the same with people who have buildings, commercial buildings, and contents. And if you've got a commercial building, unless you're a property owner, you're going to have the building probably in connection with your business.
Mm-hmm.
So in building inflation and contents and stock inflation is running at about 14 or 15% year on year. So broadly, if you insured something for 100 grand last year, you should be considering insuring it for that plus 14 or 15% now. And the best way around that, you know, whether we continue with this raging inflation or price inflation or we don't, is just have a once a year conversation with an insurance expert, myself or anyone who is an expert. You know, my advice is free. The aim of the free advice is to hook the client in, obviously, at some point. But if I advise somebody now and then don't become a client for 3 years, but they then do become a client, I'm a happy bunny. And hopefully they're a happy bunny. But getting free advice, I think, is very important.
Oh, 100%. If it's there, why not use it? Makes a lot of sense. And then just finally, is there any other maybe common types of insurance that we haven't discussed yet that you might think people might be, just to kind of make them think, if nothing else? I know we can't go into every detail. You know, the niche of this type of conversation, as we mentioned earlier, was insurance is very specific to people, but so it is quite a general conversation. But again, there'll be themes or whatever. So is there anything else that we haven't kind of covered yet?
Yeah, another one of my, if you could call it, favourites, is an emerging cover. When I say emerging, I mean it's probably just been offered seriously by insurers for the last 3 to 5 years, and that would be cyber insurance. Okay, now... Yep. Let's start at the beginning. What does the organization do? Once we've established that, does the organization hold names and addresses of their clients? Well, the answer will be a big yes on that one. Do they hold national insurance numbers of the clients, passport numbers, driving license numbers, debit card details, credit card details? Can you see how that... Even in your mind, as a lay person, can you see how that can rack up, Mike, in terms of not complexity, but like danger level of I've got loads of data relating to just one person and I've actually got loads of clients' data. Now, in that scenario, it's best to buy some form of cyber insurance. And there's been an insurance around for years called crime insurance, which is where somebody has you over in business for criminal purposes. But now it's referred to as cybercrime. Now, there's also ransom. So I'll give you a scenario if we have time.
Yeah.
Client of mine, one of the staff in their office area, left a computer on overnight. Unbeknown to them, someone then connected through the computer that was on, went into their directory in the finance area and changed the sort code and account number for all monthly regular payees. And they were facing, I think, an 120 grand loss.
Wow.
Now, happily, cyber took care of that scenario because it was deemed that it wasn't an inside job.
Mm.
No one had accidentally written a password on a piece of paper that, you know, someone else, a third party, could have read or something like that. It just seemed, you know, it just seemed a coincidence that it happened when somebody had left the computer on, you know. Right. The last thing is ransomware. I mentioned it just a second ago, but didn't go into it. You can have a situation where someone ring fences your data and says, give me 50 grand. What do? Do you give them the 50 grand? Do you buy an insurance policy that could pay them the 50 grand? Do you get the police involved? What do? That's really a discussion between you, once you've bought the insurance company and the police in that scenario. Having said that, quite often when ransom thieves release your data, it is released, but it's released in what's called an unordered form. So it's all there, but it's all over the place. And you'd have to stop your day job and spend 3 months trying to pull it together. So what can be covered under your insurance is the services of a forensic data reinstaller, who, as the name implies, all they do is pull people's data back together into a manageable and workable form. Okay. Now, they may take 3 to 5 days to do that, and their day rate might be $2,000 a day, but that can be covered under cyber insurance as well.
Yeah, and I guess the whole anything around any of these areas, but definitely cyber insurance, it could be, I mean, the example you used earlier, £120,000, it could be fatal to a business very easily, couldn't it? It could shut them down overnight if they don't have the right things in place.
Most definitely, Mike. Again, go back to what we said earlier. Get some expert advice from me or from somebody else.
Well, that's perfect timing, Jeff, because I was going to say, if anyone wants to get a hold of you and find out more about whether it's Spencer Hayes or yourself, where's the best places to go and to look?
I would just go on LinkedIn and look up Jeff Dunn.
Perfect. And I'll put all your details into the show notes for this, whether you're watching it on YouTube or through the podcast platforms as well. And if for whatever reason it's not there or you don't find it, you know, just let me know and I can point you in Jeff's direction as well. So that's really, really good, Jeff. I know it's a subject you're very passionate about, and it's so important for people. So really, thank you for taking the time to do this.
Absolute pleasure, Mike. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this chat today, and like me, you learned something new from our wonderful expert. So if you'd like to hear from more of our sessions, please subscribe on whatever platform that you get your podcast from to hear more. And also, we'd love to meet you at some point at one of our upcoming events. We, the Northern Affinity Hull Defence, all across the north of England, and we'd love to meet new people and have guests along. So please come along and check out our website or all the details in the show notes. Thank you very much for listening, and see you next time.